Welcome to Through the Bible with Les Felder, a 30-minute walk through the Scriptures, teaching in-depth Bible truths that change people's lives. Now, here's your host, Les Felder.
Okay, red light's on, and away we go. So I thought this was program 4, but every tells me it's only program 3. So bear with me. We're going to start right where we left off, Revelation chapter 20. And we'll now go down to verse 10. While you're looking that up in the studio, for those of you joining us on television, of course, I say it over and over, but in case we've got new listeners, we're just an informal Bible study. They find out this afternoon how informal we really can be, so I want to keep it that way, because I don't want to get stiff and whatever you want to call it, because we want people to be comfortable with us, and the Word of God is interesting, and it's exciting. But you have to learn how to rightly divide it. Now, that's the secret. All right, Revelation chapter 20, and where are we on the board? Okay, we still got the mysteries up for the early part of the program, where we came from, and then we'll flip the board and go on where we are in Revelation. Chapter 20, verse 10. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet are. We address that in that last half hour. And they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, I realize there are a lot of folks who are beginning to think that there's an end to the punishment of hellfire, but I cannot find it in Scripture. But whatever, let's read on. Verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. Now, we got to identify the time factor here. This will be after now the millennium has run its course. Those who rejected the Christ at the end of the millennium will now be involved in this great white throne, because the great white throne judgment is for all the lost of all the ages from Cain on up until the end of the millennium, and at which there will be no believers. Now, I had a letter again the other day. Their preacher said that we were going to be there and see our loved ones judged. No, we will not. Because that would take all the glory of salvation away from us if we saw loved ones doomed to their eternal hellfire. So this is only for the lost. We've had our judgment, if you want to call it that, our examination at the judgment seat of Christ, which Paul taught back in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So don't ever let anybody tell you that any believers will be at this great white throne judgment. It's at the beginning of eternity now, and we don't know where it is. It's probably someplace out in the vastness of outer space, but whatever, it's a real thing, and it's genuine, and the Bible teaches it, and so consequently, I have to address it. All right, I'll never forget. I got to give you one of these once in a while to kind of wake you up. I was teaching in a large church down in Florida. I won't name it. Doesn't matter. And I'd had an all-day Saturday seminar, and I wrestled all night because they wanted me to teach the adult Sunday school class on Sunday morning. And nothing was coming together. I got up that next morning on Sunday morning, and I told Iris, I said, I can't get anything to come together for that Sunday school class. And about 200 people, I think, and I was just speechless. I just told them, I said, the Lord just seemingly hasn't laid anything on my heart and mind, and I said, I guess the only thing I can do is ask if somebody has a question. Well, one of the assistant pastors was sitting way at the back, and he was a younger fellow, and he said, Les, he said, you're always talking about works. How about the works in Revelation 20? I about had heart failure. I said, great, that's the great white throne. We'll talk about it. So we turned to this chapter. I spent the whole hour teaching Revelation 20, the great white throne. Well, the Sunday school was a little ways from the sanctuary, so as we were walking from the Sunday school to the sanctuary, I don't know how many of the older people in that congregation came around and said, "Les, this is the first time we've heard hellfire in this church in 50 years. But you see, that's most. They never address it anymore, and I'm aware of that. People don't want to hear it. They don't want to admit that there is that kind of an eternal future for the lost. But, beloved, it's in the book. It's as plain as language can make it, and we better address it. All right, so here we are. The great white throne out someplace in space at the beginning of eternity. I think it's in that interval of time between the destruction of everything and everything new, as we're going to see hopefully in the next half hour in chapter 21 and 22, which is the eternity that's awaiting us. But back to verse 12 now in Revelation 20, where John says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened." Now I have to stop a minute. Where do all these lost people come from? How could they stand before God now after 7,000 years of the human experience? Well, go back with me to John's Gospel, and I think we can make it as plain as, again, as language can make it. John's Gospel, chapter 5, and we'll jump in at verse 28. John's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 28. And if you got a red letter edition, it'll be in red, because Jesus is speaking during his earthly ministry. All got it? Verse 28. "And Jesus said, Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming." He doesn't say when, but it's coming. "In the which," at that particular hour, "all that are in the graves," in other words, who have lived and died, "shall hear his voice and shall come forth." That's resurrection. "They who have done good," in other words, the people of faith, whether it was Adam or Seth or Noah or all the way up through, or in our present age of grace, our faith in the gospel, all who have been people of faith. I shrink the done good, because then the first thing people say, well, then I have to work for my salvation. That's not what Jesus meant. What he meant here was those who have responded by faith, which has always been the way. They have done good. They'll come to the resurrection of life. Now let's stop a moment. For the body of Christ, believer, that'll be at the time of what we call the rapture, the end of the church age. Then we've got other groups that will be resurrected, and I think they will all, for the most part, come under the resurrection of... Now come back with me a minute. Keep your hand in John. I'm not through there. But come back with me a minute to Daniel. I referred to it in the closing moments of the last half hour, so it's a good thing we look at it. Daniel chapter 12. And we'll just let Scripture speak for itself. Daniel 12, and just drop in at verse 1. Daniel 12, beginning at verse 1. All got it? "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince who standeth for the children of thy people," that is Israel, "and there shall be a time of trouble," a reference to the 7 years of tribulation, "such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." In other words, you remember the believing remnant of Israel is going to survive the tribulation and go into the kingdom. All right. Now verse 2. "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Now we've got to be careful. You know, there are groups that teach soul sleep and so forth. And I always answer with one terse answer. The body may sleep, waiting a resurrection, but the soul never sleeps or dies. The soul never dies. Because at creation, back there in Genesis 1:27, the human race was created in the image of God. So the human soul, spirit, that invisible part of us, will die the day that God does. When will that be? Never. So remember that if we're a member of the human race, the soul and spirit will never die. It's going to keep on living in the interval between physical death and resurrection. It's going to keep on living for all eternity because we're going to live as long as God lives, whether saved or lost. With me? All right, so now then, back to Daniel chapter 12. Many of them that are asleep in the dust, in other words, the body has been put in the grave, returned to the dust of the earth. But the soul and the spirit is still someplace. Now maybe I'll take the time. Keep your hand now in John and Daniel. Let's go to Luke. Let's go to Luke 16. Now again, I'm way off course. I didn't intend to do any of this today. I'm sorry, but I guess it's what the Spirit leads. That's what we have to go by. Luke chapter 16. The rich man in torment, and Abraham and Lazarus in paradise. You with me? All right, Luke 16. We haven't got time to look at all of this, but just to show you that even though they're in the place of the departed, in what the Hebrew calls Sheol, in the Greek it's called Hades, and in the English, be it right or wrong, it's called hell. All right, here we are. Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple, fine linen, fared sumptuously, that is, in his days of life on earth. And there was also a certain beggar named Lazarus who was laid at his gate full of sores. In other words, he had none of the things of this world. And verse 22. Came to pass that the beggar, in this case, Lazarus, the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, which was down in Sheol, but on the paradise side. All right? And so the rich man also died and was buried, so his body is going to go back to the dust of the earth. Now verse 23, but in hell, in Hades, in Sheol, the place of the departed, the rich man lifted up in hell, lifted up his eyes, and being in torment, see that? He seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue. Now remember, this is the Lord Jesus himself speaking. So you can't put any doubt on it whatsoever. This is for real. Let him tip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now remember, the rich man is in the torment side of Hades or hell. Abraham and Lazarus are over on the paradise side. Now, to refresh your memory, what did Jesus tell the thief on the cross ere they died? Today, what? Thou shalt be with me where? In paradise. This is what he's talking about. Where Abraham and Lazarus were. They were in the place of the departed, which Jesus said in Matthew 6 is in the center of the earth, and so I have to go along with that. At some place in the center of the earth was this place of the departed called Sheol, or Hades, or hell. But it had a great gulf fixed, and over here was torment. Over here was paradise. Now, at Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, he took paradise up to heaven. But hell remains as it is. Okay? So now just a couple comments here yet so that you'll get where I'm coming from. And Verse 25, but Abraham said to the rich man, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received the good things, and likewise Lazarus the evil things, but now he's comforted, thou art tormented. Now here it is, verse 26, and besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed that separated paradise from torment, so that they who would pass from here to you cannot, neither can you pass to us. And then he said, I pray thee therefore, so on and so forth, go and warn my brothers. But what I want you to see is that in the Old Testament economy, where of course Daniel is writing, the believers went down into paradise of Sheol, and the lost went over to where the rich man is. All right, now then, if you'll come back with me to Daniel, maybe we can wind this up and make it understandable. Verse 3. Daniel 12. And they that be wise, see, just like Jesus said in John 5, those who have done good, they've been people of faith. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. All right, then he tells Daniel to shut up the book and so on and so forth. But now come all the way over to verse 8. Still in Daniel 12, we're still dealing with the resurrection of the non-body of Christ. I have to put it that way because, remember, we got to still take care of Adam and all those before Israel became a nation. Those are all part, I feel, of the Old Testament economy. So they'll all be resurrected at the same time. There is not a separate resurrection for the first 2,000 and then another one. There is one resurrection for anybody that's not in the body of Christ. All right. Verse 8. I heard, and I understood not. And then I said, now do you see what this is saying? These Old Testament writers wrote of things by virtue of the Holy Spirit. They didn't have a clue what they were writing about, but they wrote. And that's exactly what Peter meant back here in his little epistles, how they searched diligently. But did they find the answers? No, it wasn't meant for them to. And this is what we have to understand, that God reveals things for man's understanding when he is ready to reveal it. So Daniel wasn't that fortunate. He wrote things that he couldn't comprehend. All right, come back to the text. Daniel 12, verse 8. So I heard, but I understood not. Then I said, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Well, now I have, I guess, almost a canned by now. I've taught it so often. I call it the signs of the times. And when did end time signs really start accumulating? The late 1800s. And again, I go back to Isaiah. When Isaiah was warning Israel of the coming Babylonian invasion and the captivity, what did it sound like? Next month. How long was it? 100 years. And that's why I feel that time-wise, we're right on God's end-time scenario of being about 100 years. So you can go back and just in every segment of our existence, all the signs of the end-time began in the last part of the 1800s, and then after we cross over into the 1900s, it's a downhill run. And here we're culminating now after 100 years of the signs of the end time. All right, now same way here. See, these things that Daniel had written prophetically were not understood until the late 1800s. For 1800 years, Christendom had absolutely no concept of end time prophecy. And God didn't intend it to be, see? But as we approach the end time, now, of course, more and more becomes evident. All right, so reading on. Verse 10, many shall be purified, made white, and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly. My, we're seeing that, aren't we? And none of the wicked shall understand. You go out into the world today and try to tell them about end time events, they look at you like a bull at a Newgate. What are you talking about? Isn't that right? Forgive me, but my big city people love those little things. But that's true. They haven't got a clue what you're talking about. That's what the book says, see? All right. Now verse 11. From the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away. Now you got to be a Bible student. When does the Antichrist shut down Israel's temple? In the middle of the tribulation. All right. So from the middle of the tribulation then, that the daily sacrifice taken away and the abomination that maketh death that is set up, from the middle of the tribulation till the event that Daniel is going to wait for will be 1,290 days. That's an extra 30 days. And then in verse 12, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. So we got an extra 75 days in Daniel 12 that leads up to the resurrection of the Old Testament saints, which is in verse 13. But go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest. In other words, Daniel is in that place of perfect bliss and rest as Abraham and Lazarus were, only it's not down in paradise. Paradise is now in glory. But nevertheless, they are still waiting for their resurrection day. Go thy way until the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot, your company, your group of saved people, at the end of the days, or 75 days after Christ returns. Now, I take that 75 days to be what Daniel 2 referred to as the dust that's blown away after the stone smites the image. Remember that in Daniel 2? The stone that smote the image and ground it to powder, and then the wind blew the chaff and the residue away. I take that to take place during this 75 days, and that will make the earth ready then for the glory of the kingdom. All right, now we're still back in John, aren't we, honey? Okay, John chapter 5 again. John chapter 5. So now maybe this will mean a little more to you. Verse 28, let's just read it all over. Moreover, or marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They who have done good, the people of faith, will come out on the resurrection of life, which was the rapture for the body of Christ, Daniel's time in the rest of the world's population that are believers. Those are the two resurrections of life. Now come to the next one. They who have done evil, they've never responded to God's word. They have never responded by faith. They will come unto the resurrection of condemnation. Okay, now I got 4 minutes left to bring that to a head. Now come back with me once again to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. For the believers, there will be two resurrections. The resurrection of the body of Christ at the rapture, and the resurrection of all the rest of the believers before we come into the kingdom event, when the Old Testament saints will come back 75 days after. But now, at the end of everything, at the end of the 7,000 or whatever else goes on after that, at the end of everything, the great white throne is set up, and now here come all the lost of the ages. And I feel they'll be in bodies. Otherwise, why have a resurrection? Because resurrection simply means a person who has died and has been supernaturally brought back to life. Not like Lazarus. Lazarus wasn't resurrected. He was simply brought back to life. The widow's son was brought back to life. But resurrection is when, by God's supernatural power, a person who has lived and died and gone back to the dust of the earth is called out with a resurrection body. And that's what we have here. And I feel that they're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ bodily, with a body not fit for eternal bliss, but a body fit for the lake of fire. Now, that's my own interpretation. I can't just specifically say that's what the book says, but I think I'm close. All right, read on. Verse 12. So I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books, plural, were opened. Another book, singular, was opened. And that's the book of life. And if they weren't in the book of life, God would show it to them. Proof positive, you've never entered into eternal life. You've never exercised faith. And then he judges their punishment in the lake of fire, where there will be degrees. Absolutely, there will be. And he gives out the punishment according to the works that were registered in the books. Reading on in verse 12. They were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Verse 13. I'm going to, for sake of time, I'm going to have to go real quickly. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and I think that takes you all the way back to the early centuries of the human experience, before the flood. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, none excepted, every human being that has ever lived is going to have his moment of time, although it's in eternity, before the Lord Jesus Christ. See? And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. In other words, they're resurrected out of hell where the rich man was. They're resurrected out of wherever the lost have been in the interval of time. And then bodily, they are cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. The first death, of course, is physical death, and then the second death is spiritual death. Now then, verse 15. Oh, we don't like this. I know we don't. I can sometimes wake up at night and think about this. How I wish it weren't true. But, beloved, it is, and until God tells us clearly that it's wrong, we have to accept it as biblical truth. Verse 15, that whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And Jesus himself over and over used what kind of terminology? Forever and ever and ever and ever. It is without end.
Thank you for watching Through the Bible with Les Feldick. Through the Bible is a partner-supported ministry. If this program has been a help to your study of the Scriptures and you'd like to see others enjoy the teaching, your support would be greatly appreciated. Write to us at Les Feldick Ministries, 30706 West Lona Valley Road, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or call 1-800-369-7856. Remember, all programs are available in printed form, audio cassette, and videotape. Be sure to tune in next time to Through the Bible with Les Feldick.